This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, good afternoon. It is good to be here, and you were brave enough to join my session, so thank you so much. I might try to recruit some of you to help us with our fundraising. I'll try to let you go back to wherever God's calling you. I'm a little bit scared on this because I'm not quite sure how long this much material I have, so I've set my clock here and was trying to get it to work. I'm going to try to keep an eye on it, but do help me keep moving so that we can get through everything. I'll just share just a little bit about my life. I'm Brent Baer. As he said, I live in Lancaster here. I was formerly from Holmes County, so if someone knows me from that area. I have a wife, four children. My oldest is 17. My youngest is 9, so that has been good the last couple of years. It was some of the earlier years of fundraising were interesting with younger children. I suppose we can learn a lot from every part of our life. Maybe I was just going to start out with this question. Is there anyone in this room that does fundraising for a ministry or what I would call awareness? We call ours mentoring and awareness. Who here does that? Okay. Are some of the rest of you in church leadership? I just wanted to know kind of who I'm talking to. Okay. Yeah, true. Okay, this is for everybody. I'm going to say it later, but this is for anyone that does fundraising. It's for someone that's in church leadership, and it's also for those of you that are just in the pew as lay people because it affects us all. So hopefully there can be something we can all get from this, and I want to just share a little bit of a vision for you. So I gave some handouts to each one of you. I did that simply so that you could have a little bit of reference points to walk into, to look at some of the same things I have. I tend to just like to just give my notes to people because if they're missing something, you want to ask me a question later, that it's there in front of them. But feel free to ask questions as we can. So why am I passionate about public awareness and fundraising? Maybe, I guess it is embodied in the title, is just because I see it building God's church. In a sense, I'm kind of going out on my own. I've actually never talked about this subject before in this sense. I've talked about it with my wife, but I've never heard anyone talk to me about it. When I stepped into fundraising, I had no idea what I was supposed to do other than just get up in a church and start talking, and our ministry said we'd need some funds. And so I kind of went into it with even a slightly different wrong mentality, and after a number of years, it's completely changed my perspective. I would hope that I could help someone else on the journey to using it in the right way. I'm not saying it's using the wrong way, but let me just give a little bit of background. So when I think about fundraising, and in fact, let's get away from the word fundraising because that's really not what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to talk about awareness. Sometimes the fundraising comes along with that, but it's awareness that I really want to present today. My father, I grew up without realizing it, watching him doing awareness for a ministry that was, we had a lot of people in our family, in our immediate family, that were missionaries in Costa Rica and Mexico and other places. And Dad was a business person, and so he gave heavily into even our own family members where they were. But then he would also get involved and go and say, well, hey, I can go share for you while you're in Mexico and while you're in Costa Rica. So and Dad loves to talk just like I do. And he would go around to different churches and he would show slides back on the old little slide projector. So that's how old I am. I'm 49, by the way. And so I remember him showing slides at work and telling people, and he was recruiting people, and ended up ultimately he would take people on team trips to those places. So I watched that go on. I just discovered that that happened. I hadn't thought about that until about a year or two ago. I was like, well, I'm just doing the same thing my dad did. So the first chance that I actually had to bring some awareness to something was when I was in my 20s. I had been taking some canoe trips and helping with a ministry in Northern Youth Programs. It was a little side part of their ministry. And so I teamed up with several of my friends, and we actually just had a little fundraiser awareness thing to show what we were doing. So that was when I was 22. I went to SMBI Bible School and then ended up working on their table when we would go around and do course programs. And so I remember I just am fascinated doing that. I love talking to people, so that's probably why they tapped into me. And then now, recently, I moved to Lancaster to take a completely different type of job. Ended up getting involved with Kingdom Channels, and that was 4 years ago. They just said, would you come on and work with us part-time just to go out and do awareness for us, because we're really growing and we need people to understand what's happening for volunteers as much as just the fact that we need funding. So that's a little bit of where I'm coming from for my background. I'm also aware that I'm just learning. Second thing is, I'm actually not coming here especially with answers. I'm coming here to just discuss the concept for all of us And I'm hoping to come away with some things myself as we all learn together. There's probably men in this building that have done this more than I have. So I gave you just a little bit of background. I'm going to tell you just a little bit, though, what happened when I stepped into Kingdom Channels. So the biggest thing when they said do awareness and fundraising, the big thing that came on my mind was fundraising. And the reason was because they were actually going to pay me to actually do this. When they asked me to help, I said, I can, but I can't quit my job without some form of income to make my house payment and do things, support my family. But I'd love to. All of my life up to then, I've always done everything for no pay. And so it was a real weird shift in my mind. I was like, I can get empowered to actually do what I love to do. So it was a glorious thing, but it also brought a lot of stress for me. And so when I went into the first programs, my thought was, I need to raise money. I've got to not only support my salary that they're giving me, the part-time, but I've also got to get enough money to keep the people on the field. So I felt tremendous pressure. So when I went on a first trip that I actually took, that we rented a motorhome, we packed up our family, the people around me knew I was a little bit stressed. Merle, our chairman, has such wise words so many times in my life. And he finally just said, he said, when he was just debriefing or briefing me before the trip, he said, Brent, if you go on this trip and bring back $1, you will have been successful. Because along the way, you will have told people about our ministry. And he said, maybe 10 years from now, that person might give. At the same time, he said, maybe God wants to just bring volunteers on this trip. He doesn't even want you to bring any money back. He just wants you to bring volunteers back for us. And then somehow God will figure out another way to fund them. You don't need to worry about that. And what happened was a light bulb like changed in my mind. Suddenly I just ding. Oh, this is not about funds. This is just about sharing God's work. And suddenly what happened, the rest of what had happened up to then in my life, I could finally go back to just being me. All my life, my passion has just been to help people grow deeper in love with God. So I kind of hit the trail that first time, just said, okay, I'm just going to be me and just do what I like to do. I love to find people, find the ones that are serious about God, and then just get their phone numbers or else be with them and just passionately pursue God. And so I went into it with that attitude, and that changed some things in the way that I focused on things. So let me try to think, get ahead of my notes here. Why am I passionate about fundraising? Just because I see it as a way to build the kingdom of God. And the reason why I'm glad that some of you are here that aren't people that are doing awareness, that you're just lay members of the church, is because oftentimes I go into a church because of some of you that actually call me and just say, would you be interested in serving our church and sharing a program, if I would get a hold of the leadership and ask them for that. And so oftentimes I will get into a church and they will say, could you come, based on the fact that somebody else recommended me. So it's a working together. I also get pastors and leaders that talk to me about that as well. But it's all the whole church working together to build the church and to bring life. So let me just share a little bit further here. Why am I passionate about it? I guess it's just because I believe that the kingdom of God can be brought closer to us as we go into churches and as we think about ministries that are in other parts of the world. And our lives grow when we understand that it's bigger than just our little bubble. It's bigger, it's broader. And the more that that happens, the other thing that happens is, as I come into your church or you are in my church, I suddenly see, oh, you have this piece that I hadn't thought about, and I interact, and so it builds unity between churches. And so the whole kingdom begins to be more unified. We're not just our own little separate groups. Okay, I'm struggling to get this thing to move forward, and I struggled with it earlier. Okay, there we go. That was my first slide. Why am I passionate about public awareness and fundraising? Lots of things, but I'll keep moving on. My goals for this session, in a sense, are just really to talk about, it's a theory class, to just talk about what happens, why it happens, how it happens, and then what do we hope to achieve as a PR representative, or what do you hope to achieve if I come into your church and you have invited me into your church? What do you hope to bring? Is it just to hear about the ministry, or what is it? I said a little bit ago, I'm talking to three groups of people. Anyone that does work like what I'm doing, PR work, someone that's a leadership in church, and then also a layperson in church. And there's three concepts that I'm going to talk to you about, and those were basically the concepts that were listed in what your description was. I said, raising awareness for a cause or doing fundraising to support a ministry has the power to bring life into churches in amazing ways. So the first one is life, to bring life. If pastors, leaders, and ministry personnel, and I should have just said PR personnel, understand and walk in unity, and that's my second point, to walk in unity, unity and purpose, they will have the opportunity to see transforming power. And I believe that as we walk in bringing life and as we walk in unity, we will then begin to see the transforming power that comes from what God is doing in the world and getting our focus on of just off of things that are just common and ordinary around us. So sharing my goals, let me just go to the some of the next things that I have in my session here. What I want to talk about in relation to bringing life, this is probably the core of what a person that is doing fundraising or awareness for something is supposed to do, in my opinion. So I'm just bringing this as my opinion, but all of us are here to bring life. When you are in church, we're there to dwell as a member of that church to bring life. And as we go into other churches, we're there to bring life. And I shared earlier with you my wrong mindset when I said, well, I'm here to collect funds to try to motivate people to give. That is not a life-giving, that does not bring a lot of life, other than the fact that sometimes someone might give and it might, God might draw, you know, closeness to them because of that giving. But if you're just there as a get, that's not serving. It's a get mentality. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 7:38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's a powerful verse when you think about that. As you go into a church and as you have someone come into your church that should be coming out of you to each other and ministering to each other, I actually find that as I'm in churches, people give me life. One phenomenon, and some of you that actually do this, you'll I'm sure you would affirm the same thing, but in different churches, I can see different degrees of life in that church because of when I leave. There's some churches, we usually have on every tour that we go on, we just say, okay, if we had to pick between these eight churches, this is where we would move if God told us to move, just because of what we felt built up within that church. So you as a member have a powerful, as a member of a church, have a powerful way to use your church to minister to people even coming in, because there's times I'm discouraged too. I come in and I might put on a happy face and be joyful, but underneath you don't know that maybe just yesterday we were really struggling. In fact, for any of you that is human, you know that sometimes even your marriages have little issues in it, and it sure comes to the surface when you go out on the road and get under a lot of stress. And so we can be in the RV and having just a little bit of a rough spot and then get out, and sometimes we need a little bit of bolstering. So you as a church have a powerful thing to bring into our lives as well as PR people. So bringing life, how can we bring life, and what are ways that a ministry person can bring life to a church? So I just jotted down five of the ways that I go into a church to bring life, some things that I do. There is more than this, and that's why I put number six. I just put a question mark because I'd love to open up for some of you to share just a little bit. So when I go into a church, these are some things that I think about. How can I go in and motivate people to pray and serve others by presenting what's happening on another side of the world? I can talk about needs of the world. I can talk about winning souls. We know some of those things, but some of it is just that I want to help broaden people's perspective. It's bigger than just the area that you live in. There's a lot of things going on in the world that are bigger than that. The second thing is I go to just encourage people. I found, I'll just say this, this really, really became irrelevant when I went to churches in the year 2020. So our church kept right on meeting as right through COVID. We were back in a little woods. Nobody really saw us. We just kept right on going. We didn't stop meeting, but most of the people that I went to that year, their churches had not been meeting, and I could not believe the difference. People were haggard. I went to one church that had split that year. I thought when I saw them in the audience, I thought, man, they just feel like their shoulders are just drooping. I could feel the heaviness as I walked in, and what I saw was that they just needed to hear that something in the world is good. And we were having tremendous opportunities and experiences in Iraq where I work, where our ministry works. And I could bring in, I could see them sometimes just their faces changing in the audience as I was telling them, and they were stopping thinking about everything here and the depression around them and started realizing, you know what, God didn't die. He's actually actively working even in greater ways than before. So that's where I really saw it. But I also see it even now. There's lots that are happening in our churches, encouragement. So you're going to a church just to encourage. And as you invite, if you're a layperson and you help facilitate, or you're a leader, you're inviting someone in, hopefully you are doing that to encourage your people so that they will have more life to give and give each other and have a brighter outlook on a truer picture of what God's doing. So the third thing I put down is just share opportunities to give. I know from watching my dad was a tremendous giver. He would not do the best bookkeeping, and he would give. He gave so much one year, he gave more than we actually made because he had been on borrowed money, and all of a sudden he got to the end of the year and did his tax return and realized, I gave more than I didn't make much this year, and I gave it all away. In fact, a little more. But I saw God just, I always looked at my dad. He was not just what I would consider the best business person, but I saw him being tremendously prosperous. And I've always thought it was just simply because he gave, and God knew he would give back to dad. And so I believe my dad's businesses were successful simply because of that. So when you share opportunities to give, you actually are building the church to enable them to be givers in other ways. And as God blesses them, it's actually going to bring more finances into the church. So that's just my opinion on that, but I've seen it over and over. I've seen it in my own life as well, as I gave, that God was faithful in bringing that back to me in much greater ways. I said earlier, drawing people to follow God in a deeper way. So by drawing that out of people and by interacting with people that you're sharing about your ministry, it goes well, for me anyhow, it goes well beyond just sharing about where our ministry is. I love to find out, well, what's happening in your life and how can I minister in your life? And in fact, this might actually surprise you, but I often will tell people if they're talking about what they are passionate about. I've had people sort of feel guilty, say, well, I probably won't come with Kingdom Channels as a volunteer. I've sort of been passionate about this. And I really don't care. I'm more passionate just about the fact that missions would go out. So I've often told people, I actually don't think this is maybe quite as good of a fit for you, but what you're saying here, that is where I think you probably should serve. And it's in a different direction. So I want to point you in that way and go do that. And then I share from, I've worked at the water program at SMBI since 98. So I've been involved in a whole bunch of different ministries. And I'll sometimes say, well, you know what? Actually, you could, that might fit with Grenada, or that might fit with going here. We send a team out at water every year to here, and I've heard a lot of good things coming back from there. This is someplace you can go. So just giving that to you perspective, because people that you bring into your church, if they're actually there to bring life, will hopefully help all of your congregations grow. The last thing I put down was just a change of routine. Sometimes I can be saying the same exact thing that your pastors have said over and over and over, but simply because it's maybe a special program and we're focusing on another part of the world, but I'm saying the same exact thing. We need to go in the world and preach the gospel, and we need to serve others. Sometimes I can say that, and it, just because it's a different type of program and the routine's changed, I sense that people are hearing it, where they, if they hear the pastor Sunday morning, say, yeah, he said that, I've heard that before, and they don't change anything. So that's a little bit of my perspective. There's probably a few more. Is there anybody here else that has some things that you've noticed, people that came into your church? I want to let you talk a little bit too. What are some things that you like when people come in? What have they affected your church?
If you can compliment the church in some way, if you know anything about it before you get there, or you sense something when you get there, just thank them and commend them for being there.
That's powerful. That's to compliment the church. Yeah, that's very powerful. And that brings encouragement to that church, that they have a strong point, even if they maybe don't even see it, because that's who they are. Anyone else?
Taking time to listen. I find myself in situations with clients, especially, and they start sharing, and I need to go home and break up the estimate and do whatever. An hour later, we're still talking.
Yeah.
And then when I leave, they just thank me for it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to share. And sometimes people need that outlet to have someone to
share
space with.
Yeah, taking time to listen. Very, very powerful. And I shared with you that I was in a church that had split the year they were there, and I sensed that was actually the primary reason that God actually took me to that church. Was just because before and after the program, the next day, the next morning before I left, I just talked with the pastor and just tried to encourage him. And yeah, a very good point. You can tell that I talk rather rapidly, and so that is an issue that I need to work on, is listening better. So just for the sake of time, I'm going to keep going unless someone else has another one.
Yeah. You have 2 years in one mouth.
Yeah, exactly, for a reason. 2 years in one mouth is given to you for a reason. So we were talking about bringing life, and what do we do? How do we bring life? And I was giving you some reasons that I go into a church. I wanted to just point you to something else. I'm a little behind here. How can we bring life to a church? This is the question that should be first and foremost in our minds as a person that does awareness, and as a person that is a pastor in leadership of a church, and as a lay person, should be that when the person comes in, can we enable life to happen? And so how can we bring life to this church? And I wanted to just throw that question out, because in the center of everything that I'm talking to you about, that really should be the center of what we're doing, is how can we enable life to happen in a greater way in this church? And we've talked about some of the ways that that could happen, but I'm really just wanting to highlight this, because if you don't view this and if you don't look at this honestly, lots and lots of opportunities will be missed. So how can we bring life to this church? And because of that, I believe that we should try to talk together as a ministry team on the church, as maybe a lay person or as a person that's doing awareness, talk and dialogue beforehand. How can we enable life to happen? How can we have some of that how can we have life flowing out of us as a church? Now, I'm going to also just share a small funny example. I also find the opposite, that sometimes we don't bring life. I had one example that I'm just going to share because I want you to see the humanness of me. We were in Michigan at a church as a family, had a tremendous program, had response, had people just excited about what we were doing. And then we were packing up our stuff and almost everybody was gone. And so one of the pastors was helping me load up. And my one daughter that was ahead of me, we were putting stuff in the vehicle and it was freezing cold out. The wind was blowing and it was snowing. And she's struggled sometimes with serving others. And she just basically did something that really irked me because I had seen it happen so many times before, and just let everybody else sitting and just ran off on her own. And I impatiently said, and I said her name very forcefully, like, why do you always do this? And I immediately thought, okay, how did I respond there? And then we walked back in to get more stuff. And the pastor said to me, man, it must get kind of stressful out there on the road for you. And I thought, oh, he just saw me completely switch from being this happy, godly person to being a very human person that wasn't patient with their children. And I never forgot that, because it made me realize that in one moment of time, you can just ruin what you built, what took you the whole couple hours to build in yourself, and that wasn't bringing life in that moment. So it's actually good for me to just humble myself and realize what I had just done in front of him. So we go in to bring life. So the second point that I want to walk through a little bit is just the thing of unity. How can you walk into a church, and how can you as a church walk together with the person that you're bringing in and walk in greater unity? And we know there's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about unity. I'm just going to share John 17:21, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. When I come to something like Reach here, one thing that I just enjoy is that there's a lot of unity among a number of us that are in all different circles, but we're coming in one place with a common purpose. And what I find is that if we can work together in the same way and a program about something that's happening on the other side of the world, but talking together as fellow Christians and just encouraging each other on what God's doing, there's some really powerful things that can happen. So I want to just talk about what can take place, though, to enable unity to happen between you and the pastor. And I'm looking around to try to think, have I been in any of your churches here? Because you might say, well, I don't remember him quite doing that in our church. You know, this is something that I'm still growing in, but this is what my goal is as I'm doing it. So I don't want to say I have this perfectly mastered, but as I go into a church, I've over the years really, really realized that one of the first things I should do when I make contact with whoever is inviting me in, and I have a lot of invitations from people that are even just on a mission board. In fact, so much that I sometimes have to question to find out, okay, who is actually the leader? Because there's very humble leaders, and I've actually left churches not knowing who the head leader was just because I forgot to ask. And he wasn't going to come up and say, hey, I'm actually the head pastor here. But as I work together with whoever is inviting me in, and generally I try to ask them, okay, who is actually the leader? Who should I be talking to if someone wants to come volunteer with us to talk about members or, you know, something of that nature? There's two things that actually happen when I talk to some of them. So the first thing that happens is just that there's that visible thing that happens around the front. When are we going to have this program in a church? We're going to have time, date, and place that it's going to take place. That's the visible. That's just all the details. But then there's something invisible that I have seen at times in my own life that got missed. But when I remembered to walk it fully out, it became really, really powerful in my program or in my placement in talking to someone. And that was to dwell on the invisible. And it was to ask questions of the pastor or the leader or whoever is there. What do you actually need in this church? So you ask the leader, and I'm going to just show a slide for it. In other words, how can I help serve you? And there's three questions generally that I center around, but I just ask, okay, what's your vision? what is your vision for this church? And there's, because of where a church is located, sometimes the vision will differ very drastically, as like an inner city, as opposed to maybe something that's just a small little country church, as opposed to a church that's a fairly large Mennonite church that's like hundreds of people. There could be a little bit difference in vision, and I need to understand what his vision is, especially for this time period. So that's the first question I ask. The second one is I just ask, okay, how can I help you? I've shared with you, I'm here to share about our ministry, but in a broader sense than that, like, what can I just help you with? What are you trying to accomplish in your members, in certain things? Like, there's got to be something right now that's really heavy on your heart, something that you're thinking about quite a bit. And so that's my second question. It's kind of the heart of it. And then along with that is I just say, what are you burdened about? What are you as a person burdened about? And the reason that I'm sharing these questions with you, because there's a number of you that aren't here that maybe are giving programs with people, but that's the kind of thing where if the person that's coming into your church isn't asking you, then you need to try to communicate it and help them walk into that and communicate, well, this is our vision. This is what I'd really like to have you help us bring into this church, and this is maybe why I'm actually bringing you into this church. And this would be some ways that you could serve me, because as I come in from a parachurch organization, my sole reason is to serve. Like, that's the reason that we exist. We're existing because we have set up some things that maybe you as a church don't have. We have structure set up to send people. We have people that are trained to do certain things, and we have a team on the field that can enable volunteers to go. So we have something sometimes that a church isn't able to do for themselves, and we can enable your people to use their life and broaden their gifts in certain ways because we have that. But ultimately, we're just there to serve people, and we're there to serve churches. So as I work on that, I should just share with you a few of the things that I get commonly. So one of the big things, this probably won't surprise you, but a pastor will often just say, you know, our youth are just so focused on sports, and I don't feel like they're, you know, their parents are maybe at a certain place, but some of the youth are not going in a good direction. If there's any way that you could talk into that group of our church, I would really appreciate it. So that's a common one that I hear. Second thing is that I hear is that people just say, well, I just see so many people that are just warming the bench. They're not really doing anything. And if you could just talk into that a little bit and talk about broader, how can they use their lives in a greater way for service to God? So that's the second thing. One of the third things that I commonly hear is a pastor will sometimes, if there's enough trust between us and he feels like he can say it, he'll actually tell me about situations in church. He'll say, well, we're facing this and this in church. For instance, I've heard, you know, there's a mother with children and the father just got killed. And the whole church is trying to come around them, but she is really struggling. And a lot of her teenage children are not doing good. So I wonder what you, knowing what you know in the little bit that we've been here, if you know what about me, what do you think that does to me? I just wrote in my notes, that just literally lights a fire under me. I actually go into the church, I usually have some notes that I'm looking at, and I walk into that church just thinking, okay, how can I help that situation? Or how can I help the youth to grow? How can I motivate at least one or two youth to get on fire, which I believe as you light them, they will light the others in the youth group. But how can you enable them to do that? Now, I have actually been there sometimes when suddenly I realized I was talking to someone at our table afterward, and I suddenly realized this is from that family that they talked about. And I was so glad that the pastor mentioned it to me, because I immediately had a frame of reference for what he was talking about. And so this is a way that I can bring life to them. I can subtly just start walking beside them, putting my arm around them. And what we found over the years as a ministry, and we have maybe a core value that might be different than some others, but we try to enable anybody that comes to us to walk with us as a ministry in some way. So if they're coming and they have some needs in their life and they maybe haven't been walking perfectly, we don't want to just cast them out. We might not say that you're ready to go to the field, but we'll tell you, well, come to one of our trainings. And then when they come to the training, a number of us staff know a little bit, this is a situation, this young man is really struggling. We're just going to come around him. We're going to try to empower him. We're going to try to wake him up and enable him to go back to his home church and have more power spiritual in his life, and maybe at some future point he will be ready to go to the field. So that's actually what lights a fire under me as I go into churches, and that should be ultimately what we're doing as body of believers together, enabling each other to grow and to get farther in the Lord, and also enabling that life to come out of whoever's coming to your church. But I just am bringing that up specifically because, you know, maybe if I'm coming to your church and I have that perspective, that's one thing. But what about the person that hasn't thought about that, or maybe has never really realized that that's actually part of his job as he's coming in? He's focused maybe, as I was at the beginning, on just the awareness part of it, or just talking about the ministry over there, helping them become aware that we're actually inviting you in, not just because we want to just give all our money to you or send all our church members to you. We're actually inviting you in because we actually want something from you. We want you to help us with some things, and just trying to draw that out of them and ultimately help them walk more fully in their gifting. And I know that there's probably other people that might have different gifting than myself. They might walk it in just a slightly different way, but try to help the person coming in to walk in that way as well. Something else I want to just share in this realm that I'm talking about here is just the thing of your pulpit. And this is maybe just a little bit of a warning. I've actually had a number of experiences calling pastors and asking, could I come to your church? So if I know someone, it makes it a little bit easier because they already know me and they want me sometimes to come. We have a little bit easier time as a ministry getting programs in churches or going places because we have a little bit of an unusual place that we're working. We're working in the Middle East. A lot of people don't know a lot about that. So I sometimes think I have an unfair advantage compared to other people that are out doing programs in churches, because people say, oh, wow, I don't know anybody that's doing that. Yeah, we'd love for you to come. What I've noticed, though, is that there's also times when I've had pastors start questioning me a little bit. Okay, where are you walking as a ministry? And my last name is Bear, which some people have heard that as a Mennonite name, but a lot of people haven't. And so I do this little dance. I'm like, my mom was a slave owner, or my I have to kind of connect the dots, because I've actually had people just say, well, we're not quite sure. We never heard of Kingdom Channels before. It's only 5 or 6 years old. Like, do you wear head veilings? Do you walk in this way? And they just started nailing me with different questions. And I'll just tell you the truth. I've been thankful. I actually really like when a pastor asks me that, because then I realize, okay, he's actually trying to protect his flock. I've had some others where I called him and said, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, come. And I think that was actually too easy. I wish they would have asked me a few more questions. Do they really know who I am? Is that how they're treating their whole church? I've actually had those thoughts. And I'll just be honest with you, I've had some people over the years that said they figured out a little bit where we're walking, and we realized as a team that we're not going to work in unity very well together. And they said, well, I'd rather you wouldn't come. And those are always kind of hard conversations to have, and I always feel very bad for that person. Because it gets a little bit uncomfortable, and I hear them stammering a little bit, and they just say, well, we're just not quite walking that way. But to be honest with you, I welcome that, because I would rather walk into church and have unity than to come in and then bring disunity and find out in some way that, yeah, they wanted to hear about the work in Iraq, but they really wouldn't feel comfortable sending anyone with us just because they maybe were not walking quite in the same way they are. So I guess I just want to warn you, maybe as pastors, to be sure that you vet out the people that come to your church. Because you could have someone that would come in and could completely work against what you're trying to do for your sheep, and that is actually your responsibility. So I try to be as respectful as I can to understand those dynamics that are going on. So trying to think what more to go. I'm actually going to make it in my time allotted. I tend to go over time so many times, but I want to just talk a little bit about what we discussed. I skipped one here. Number 3, enabling power to go out from your church. And I'm ahead of myself here as well. For 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the NIV says that we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And I just wanted to highlight this. This is not a long point that I want to bring, but I just want you to think just a little bit about what can happen when you go into churches and as you bring God's Spirit in through bringing life. So one of the things that I see very clearly is that as you go into a church, you are actually enabling power to come out through that church. You're enabling life to come out of that church in all kinds of ways that are just beyond something that they are learning across the field. And I think I've addressed some of these situations. And I'm just going to have a moment here because I've got something out of order in this, but I had some things I wanted to share on this. Got some stuff out of order, I think, so I will just keep walking and we'll just continue to talk through it. And I'm probably missing a page here. I guess I'm just going to share a few stories on what I've discovered over the years and things that have happened. We had a church in Ohio that I was at where I grew up, and I saw in that church some things happen as ministries came into our church that enabled us to actually have more life. And this was simply because of parachurch organizations working with us. One thing I saw was that we had at one point 8 or 9 couples from our church of about 200 that were out on the field, to the point where it was beginning to really tax our system as a church, our monetary amounts of the church, because we simply couldn't fund them all. We were trying to split the money between each person. We tried to do fundraisers and all kinds of drives and stuff for them. But one thing I saw that took place during that time was we were, as a church, pulling together to try to keep all of them in the field, because we all agreed it's a good problem to have so many people going out that you almost can't keep them funded. And it drew us together as a church. And so that was something that God used parachurch organizations to do in our church, to actually draw us together. Something I regularly see in our ministry at Kingdom Channels is I see people that are, we require a church or at least friends and family around a volunteer to come around that volunteer and at least pay their sponsorship, which is for a single person around $420 a month. And I've seen that bring a lot of conversations between our organization and the home church. And then it connects them just a little bit more to the person on the field. Sometimes there could be one person in the congregation that would have the money that could just pay that fee. But what I find is that I would actually rather the church pay it, because it buys them in to that person. They're going to keep track of that person a lot more if they're sending, the treasurer is sending the money every month, if they have a vested interest in that. And so that's another part that we're enabling power to come out in transformation, because as the church comes around, there's more than just funds that are going to that person. There's encouragement that needs to go to that person. There's all kinds of things that that person needs that are way beyond just financial. Another one, I'll just share this one. This just took place in this last year. We were in a church in the South, and a young mother was on the way home and talked to her 5- and 6-year-old and just said, "What stands out to you about the program?" And we were working on a project to do demining and if you've listened to my presentation earlier, it's an exciting project, but it's not quite in development right now. So the young 5-year-old said, "Well, he thought that sounded really neat." And his mom told us later, like, they were like, "Okay, I'm not, you know, he's 5 years old, trying to defuse landmines, not a good idea." but he had listened and he saw that, and he saw, oh, you can do this for God. Like, he had a hands-on mentality. Their 6-year-old daughter, she said, "Well, I want to think about it. I'm not quite sure what to say." And within a day or two, she came back and said, "Well, what really, really affected me was the children that I saw in the pictures. I wish somehow I could reach out to them." She went, and she had a small business that she sold stuff out of her house, and she helped her daughter put together little packets, and they created their own little fundraiser for her 6-year-old daughter, and she was able to go around and sell things, and she raised about $300, and then she sent it to us to be used for the children. And what I saw, you know, it really was not so much about that $300, which we were really happy to receive, but it was actually more about the fact that a 6-year-old got a vision for missions that was beyond herself. Suddenly she realized there's other people in another part of the world than myself, and some people don't have what I've been blessed with. So that was really powerful for me to see. You know, I would say my whole program in that church was worth just that person. Can you imagine when that 6-year-old is 18 or 19 and is starting to think about what she wants to do with her life? Likely it's going to affect the things that she does. I'm hoping I just created a little missionary right there at 6 years old, because by the time she's 18 or 19, she's going to be ready to go, and we will be ready to have more volunteers when she comes along. The third thing is, I guess I just see in my own daughter some of that same that I just told you about. My one daughter is just passionate about helping children. And so we even have an internal joke, because she's constantly saying, "I'm not sending my money to Kingdom Channels. I'm sending it to the Jamaica where there's children, or I'm sending it to New Horizons Ministries where they're taking care of children." She actually wrote a little letter that was so precious, and we helped her send it off. She had saved her tithe money, which was like, it was like $3.48. It was just a very little minuscule amount. And she wrote on it and sent it to New Horizons Ministries and just said, "This is money to help buy clothes or whatever else you need for the children that you have in our organization. And I'm sending it, and I hope someday I can come and serve with you." And we just saw that being built in her because of their work in our life and enabling us to see transforming power in our own daughter. We thought it was very, very precious, and I looked at it in that way. These are just basically stories. I see a lot of children. In fact, this is something that I hear over and over and over and over again. We have volunteers that come with us, and oftentimes they'll say to us when they are like asking about the position or something on the foreign field, they'll say, "Well, actually, it was when I was like 12 or 13, especially 13. I hear the age 13, they'll often say, that's when I knew someday this is what I want to do. I've heard people say over and over, especially young ladies, they'll say, I was in a service, they were talking about this, And after that, I said, that's where I want to go. Someday in my life, I will walk in the Middle East. In fact, I've heard it so many times that I've started just believing that as I walk into churches that I am sitting in front of people that God has been speaking about going to the Middle East for 5 or 6 years. So I actually just kind of going in saying, okay, I don't know which ones they are, but they're in here. 5 years before we even existed, God was actually talking to some of them and is trying to motivate them. And I'm just trying to help connect them to a work that God actually wants them to go forward with. So that's a way that you can, as a person that does awareness, help people to turn and use their gifts for what God has for them. In the same way, as some of you that are lay people or pastors, you have to remember that as you're calling in ministry personnel to present in some ways like that, you're also actually connecting them with people in your congregation that you have no idea of what's been going on in their lives for maybe the last number of years, especially younger ones like that. So that's another thing I see. Another thing that I would just throw out here is that our ministry is really, really passionate about seeing leadership being developed. So this is a tremendous opportunity for leadership to be developed if you can send, if your people in your congregation can begin to walk and learn leadership while they're actually helping support a ministry. There's obviously your own ministry that you have in your own church, and you want to see that in your own church. But we are hoping as an organization that we're training up not just people that are going to be working with us. We hope that these people will actually be trained up and working in your churches. Likely, what we're really seeing, and our chairman, Merle, is really passionate about taking younger single men and just helping them to learn to lead. And one of the reasons is because, you know, when you look across the wide spectrum of people, there are not that many people that have worked in the 1040 window, that have worked in the Middle East. We would love to say, hey, we need like about 5 or 10 seasoned leaders that know how to walk in the Middle East. They're not out there. They're going to have to be created. And so we're going to have to create out of nothingness. God's going to have to call them. And we're just wanting to take whoever God will call. And God does the work. He can help train them. And as long as we are walking around them, he'll provide all kinds of ample opportunities for them to learn to lead. But that's one thing that I see that God can use you as a person to try to bring out some of the people that are in your church that actually just need more opportunities to lead and maybe aren't getting that sometimes in a church and just need a little bit of a time away, and hopefully then come back and can serve in that way and a little better. Now, we just have a few minutes left. Maybe I'm just going to end with this. I just want to end with just saying maybe in conclusion, your purpose is to bring life. Your method is to try to bring unity and bring that life through unity that you have with the person that you're working with. The results, I believe, are transformation if it can be walked out accurately. And our hope is that we'll see changed lives. One last thing I guess I just want to leave you with is this, is to just think of yourself in whatever opportunity you have that you're doing fundraising or awareness for any kind of a ministry. Think about yourself, and also those of you that are in churches, think about the person that's coming in. In a sense, we're kind of the people like myself that go visit churches are in a sense circuit riders that are riding throughout the land taking the gospel. We're taking it through a different form, maybe. We're talking about something, but in essence, we're really just talking about what God's doing. We're talking about the gospel power to change people. And if you can view them like that and realize that there's a special call for some people to do that, you can realize that they will also accomplish what some of the circuit riders did long ago. They went from place to place to place to place, and they just brought life with them. And hopefully that brought a whole area or a whole state or a whole group of people to a greater awareness of what God had for them. Now, I know my time is very close to the end here. Is there anybody that would love to just share some perspective? I've done a lot of speaking just myself personally, but just share some perspectives that you've had having people come into your churches, giving awareness to something. One thing I have really focused on heavily because of what my work is I've focused really heavily on me coming to your church, sharing a program. There's all kinds of ways that we do awareness, and I was realizing after I prepared this that there was some other parts of this I could have actually brought in a greater way. So if you have something into that, I would welcome some feedback as well. It's not more than just speaking in front of people. Awareness is often through printed material as well.
I remember a person that came in our church, but his ministry, but his message was not to be part of us, but be involved. I remember that from 15 years ago. Be involved. That was a simple message.
And you still remember it.
Yeah.
So it, in a sense, it kind of bolsters my argument that they're circuit riders. because you remember something he said, and maybe your pastor could have said that, but it looked different from him. I'm just maybe trying to put some words around it. Yeah, be involved. Any of you have some practical experiences that you love to share? Thinking deeply about all your past experiences, I think. Amazing things can take place in our lives. I mean, I remember myself, I'll just share this, one of the first times when God really touched me with the Middle East was when a group of children from India, this is not just Middle East, but in the whole 1040 window, came to a service that I was at, and they sang. It was something that happened in that actually enabled me to start doing some of my giving in that country toward ministers that were working for that. Ultimately, it helped me start researching what is going on in those parts of the world and brought me to maybe a greater awareness of the dark needs in the 1040 window. So simple things like that have actually affected me in my life, and I'm likely thinking they have for you as well. Now, I think my time is probably up. So is there anyone else that has one more thing to share? Not, I'll just wrap up. So God bless you. We'd love to talk to you some more. I'll probably be down at our booth downstairs if you want further dialogue. So thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.